This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
For women in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, it seems as though there are new recommendations every few years about mammograms. The question, how useful are they at detecting breast cancer? And does the potential harm of mammograms outweigh the potential benefits? Now we can answer those questions with a bit more certainty, thanks to a comprehensive review of 50 years worth of international studies on mammograms. The bottom line, the benefits of screening are often overestimated, while the potential harm is often underestimated. The findings have just been published in the latest edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association, and joining us now is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So the debate over mammograms has been going on for years now. Tell us a little bit about why this is such a complicated question.
Right. Well, it's part of a bigger, complicated question about cancer screening in general. So the idea is that we want to get checked for cancers because if you catch them earlier, you can cure them better. But the problem is that screening can often pick up cancers that really never would have gone anywhere. So we've seen this sort of controversy in screening for prostate cancer in men. We've seen it a little bit on colonoscopies, although they're still looking very strong. And then we've also seen it with mammograms, particularly since 2009, when the federal guidelines changed a little bit and suggested that women really start getting them more like at the age of 50 and more like every other year than every year.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this comprehensive review. And to help us do that is Nancy Keating. She's an associate professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School and co-author of the new report. And Nancy Keating, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks, Anthony. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about this broad overview of all the available data. What did you set out to probe here?
So we sought to answer four questions. First, what are the benefits of screening mammography? Second, what are mammography's chief harms? Third, following from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendations that we should individualize decisions about mammograms, what information is out there about how to do that? And then fourth, what do we know about how to support women and their physicians in making the right decision for that patient?
Big questions. And what are the answers? Give us sort of the top line.
So for the benefits, overall, 40 to 50 years worth of randomized controlled trials do suggest that there are benefits to screening mammography in decreasing the likelihood that a woman will die of breast cancer. But those benefits are not enormous. Overall, we estimate about a 19% reduction in the risk of breast cancer. That varies from about 15% for women in their 40s and 50s to about 30% for women in their 60s. But the important thing with the benefit is it also depends a lot on a woman's individual risk for breast cancer. So if your risk is low, the likelihood that you will benefit is actually quite small.
And Nancy, when it comes to the harm, if I understand it correctly, the biggest downside of screening is that some will detect tumors that would never become dangerous, but patients will go through major cancer treatments anyway, right?
That's exactly right. That's a harm that we call overdiagnosis. And recently, in the last couple of years, we've really begun to better appreciate the extent of this harm, although I will say that the research that allows us to quantify the amount of overdiagnosis associated with mammography is quite complex. But basically, when we do screening, and particularly when we do mammography, we identify cancers, and we now feel pretty confident that some of the cancers we diagnose are cancers that would have never become clinically evident in a woman's lifetime. There's two reasons for this. One is that the cancer may just be very slow growing, or it may even regress and not progress. The other is that a woman might actually die of something else before the cancer would become clinically evident.
I see. So it seems that the question of whether or not to have a mammogram really comes down to the individual, right?
It does, in two different ways. So first of all, the likelihood of benefit for mammography screening depends a lot on the individual's baseline risk of breast cancer. If her risk is low, her benefit's also going to be low. So for example, if we take 10,000 women who are average risk at about age 40 and trying to think about whether to undergo mammography screening, and we screen all 10,000 of these women, over the course of 10 years, about 190 will be diagnosed with breast cancer. Most of these women will do well and would have done well regardless of screening. About 5 of those 10,000 women will have their life saved from the mammogram. Another 30 of those women will die regardless of the mammogram because, unfortunately, some breast cancers are so aggressive that they are destined to be deadly despite mammography. Right. So there is a benefit. These 5 out of 10,000 women will have their life saved, but there are also these harms. And so one harm is obviously this harm of false positives and unnecessary biopsies. So of these 10,000 women, about 6,000 of them will have at least one false positive. At this point, I almost don't even talk with patients about being a harm. I just sort of say, you should expect that you will have some false positives, and don't worry when they call you back. But the other harm, this overdiagnosis harm, we estimate about 36 of those 190 cancers that were diagnosed could be overdiagnosed. And so those women will be treated because we can't currently tell the difference between the cancers that we need to worry about and ones that might not be so concerning. So we'll treat them all the same. And those women are then subject to the harms of treatment without receiving any benefit.
So how do we go about creating a more individualized approach to help women make the right decision here?
So it's a great question, and I think we still don't have all the tools we need for this. But the first step to do this is to help a woman understand what her risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer is. There are not perfect tools yet for this, but probably the best one we have is something called the Breast Cancer Risk Tool, which is made available to the public by the National Cancer Institute. And you can go online and you can plug in your risk factors, information about family history, when you started menstruating, when you had your first baby, how many children you've had, and whether you've had previous breast biopsies. And then that will give you an estimate of your likelihood of being diagnosed with breast cancer in the next 5 years compared with the average risk woman. So if your risk is higher than average, then because your benefit depends on your risk, you're more likely to benefit.
Now, Carrie, let me come back to you, because if I understand it right, you tried one of these breast cancer risk tools. Tell me about that experience.
Yes, I did. In fact, I tried the one that Nancy was just talking about. It's just a quick little questionnaire. It asks you those various questions, and then it computes your risk. My risk turned out to be a 1.8% chance over the next 5 years, which is a tiny bit higher than average. What was interesting, though, is I take that risk, and then I actually looked at this paper in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and I looked at the tables. Basically, I can kind of run these numbers for myself and have a sense of what I'm heading into with a mammogram.
And Dr. Keating, from what Carrie just said, does she get a clear sense of whether or not a mammogram is a good idea for her?
So this is, unfortunately, you know, the biggest challenge, is it doesn't answer the question for her. But then what I would say is that what she should think about, and what I would ask my patients to think about when I'm having these discussions, is how do you feel about the possibility of an overdiagnosed cancer being treated for a cancer that wouldn't have caused you problems, versus how much do you value this benefit, even if it's small? And suppose you decide not to get a mammogram, how would you feel if you were ultimately diagnosed with breast cancer? Again, the risk is very small, but it's not zero. And so if you were diagnosed, would you have regret for having not had the mammogram, even if the likelihood that it would have been of benefit is very, very small? And I think for women who are not too concerned about overdiagnosis and do have this thought that they might have a lot of regret about not having done everything possible, then those women absolutely should get a mammogram. But I think the message is that that doesn't have to be the answer for everyone. We need to be more aware of the limits of this test. And I think that we need to make sure that it's part of the understanding is that mammograms are not perfect tests. And some cancers will be missed. Some cancers will be diagnosed, and some cancers will be deadly regardless of whether a woman had a mammogram or not. And unfortunately, until we have better screening tests than mammography, we have to live with this uncertainty.
All right, live with this uncertainty, more awareness about the limits of these tests.
Which, Anthony, is a little bit different from the message you get from a lot of the pink ribbon people who say, like, take these tests, they'll save your lives. In fact, it's more complex than that.
Interesting. That's Carrie Goldberg. She's co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks, Carrie.
You're welcome.
And Nancy Keating. She's an associate professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School and the co-author of the new report on mammograms, published today in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And you can find a link to the JAMA study, as well as several cancer screening risk tools, at radioboston.org. And Nancy Keating, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.